Building a Non-Anxious Life, written and narrated by Dr. John Deloney. That's me. Hope you're doing well. Let's go. For Sheila, my light in the darkness, my lifelong adventure, my love, my home. For Hank and Josephine, my heartbeats, my deepest laughter, joy, love, and silliness, my greatest gifts and my greatest mission, my hope for the future. For David and Adele Deloney, you built legacy out of the ashes of a great war. You stayed married for over 70 years. You taught, held firm, laughed, and loved. You gave me a roadmap for a non-anxious life. It's not hard to fall when you float like a cannonball. Damien Rice, 2000. The first time I ever took a call on live radio was in front of millions and millions of people on the second largest radio program in the country. And I had no experience in radio. Zero. I didn't know how to speak concisely, how to come in and out of commercial breaks, any of it. I was totally exposed, like the bad dream where you're giving a presentation in high school and you look down and suddenly you realize you're not wearing any clothes. It was a call-in advice show and I completely tanked my first call. I still remember freezing when the person asked me a comically simple question. For the rest of the broadcast, I was a spastic mess. Sometimes my answers didn't make a lot of sense, and I developed weird vocal tics. One person called into the show to complain about me, saying I was like a worm on hot coals. I played the recorded complaint for my kids, and they thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever heard. But the train kept moving, and with some great coaching from Dave, James, and the production team, and some of my other colleagues, I started to get the hang of it. It was a lot like changing the oil in the car while the car is still flying down the highway. This was in the summer of 2020, and people were calling into the show about how anxious, worried, and burdened they were. Everyone seemed to be anxious. About COVID, about the lockdowns, about masks or no masks, shots or no shots, social passports, and rising death tolls. About the countless jobs that evaporated overnight and losing their livelihood, their income, their sense of community, and in many cases, their basic dignity. And since millions and millions of Americans live paycheck to paycheck and have few, if any, relationships outside of work, people were anxious about their very existence. They were scared about their struggling kids, crumbling marriages, how to juggle a second job as a homeschool teacher, giving birth in the hospital all alone, or being unable to visit aging family members who were passing away. Millions and millions of people were told they weren't essential. Life was chaotic. The world was electric and crackling. And this wasn't a projection or an exaggeration. I felt it too, in my own home. With no time for romance or connection, my wife and I quickly became co-managers of our house. I watched my kids get buried by Zoom school, and as someone who spent my entire pre-radio career studying and working with young people and their families, I was troubled by the disastrous effects this would have on their educational and social development. I was also dreadfully lonely myself. I could text and share memes, but I desperately missed my friends, and hugs, and punches on the arm, and laughing so hard I couldn't breathe. And in-person disagreements over hard life issues, and who was going to pay for the chips and salsa. I was withering. I did get to know my neighbors. We had socially distanced cookouts, driveway hangouts, and we picked up groceries for each other. But underneath the pleasantries, and after all the pivoting that life required just to get through another week, my anxiety and depression alarms were ringing off the wall. Yours were ringing too. Everything came undone. COVID didn't give us all anxiety. It poured gasoline on a growing fire that's been burning for years. Depending on what data you examine, anywhere from a quarter to half of the U.S. population reports their lives are affected by anxiety, stress, or burnout. Anxiety is everywhere. Before we go any further, I want to make sure we're using the same language. When I say anxiety, I'm talking about all of it. Yes, I'm referring to clinical anxiety, phobias, and social anxiety. But I'm also talking about debilitating worry and fear and chronic stress and burnout and how our lives have been flooded with constant, heightened levels of threats and chaos. Anxiety is no longer just a clinical term. It's now part of the cultural vernacular. It encompasses everything from panic attacks to feeling lonely, angry, scared, or buzzing from the low level of home that something big and scary and unseen is coming our way. So for the sake of this book, instead of playing diagnostic word games, I'm going to call it all anxiety.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?